It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkins with Greg Pickle. Still talking Penn State Buffalo here. We left off. Talk about Jahan Dotson now. We talked about the offense in the previous segment. Talked a little bit about getting pushed around. That idea, we'll probably circle back to that as well. By the way, we are back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I mentioned Dotson. This was the day, Greg, that, you know, not that he was overdue for it, but, you know, you saw the way he came on late when they needed somebody last season as a true freshman, even though he weighed about 106 pounds, it looked like, came on, was kind of picked up that reputation of being the first down guy, which if you're not going to be putting up gaudy numbers, that's a pretty good reputation to have as
if
the first down guy.
You've got to be something, that's a good something to be.
Especially in last year's environment where somebody had to be a first down guy.
Right.
So, you know, he picked up this reputation along the way. This was a game, 4 catches, 109 yards, two big scoring plays, an exciting day for him, showed, you know, what he can be. Everybody's sort of thought that. James Franklin has expressed confidence in that. But, you know, now you have these two guys with Hamler and Dotson, these two small receivers running through secondaries, just a handful to match up with. And I thought, you know, fundamentally this was something that the belief in this day kind of coming changes the way you look at the offense just a bit. It's one thing to think that Jahan Dotson had some big days ahead of him. It's another thing now, a couple days later, to have seen that with our own eyes, to see him make big plays down the field.
Yeah, he was a guy who I think had to put some weight on and really get a little bit of time in the weight room. And he was able to play last year, even though he wasn't as big as Penn State probably wanted him to be. But now that he's been able to get under Dwight Gault's tutelage and put some time in, you know, getting a little bit bigger and being able to stand up to hits in the Big Ten a little bit more, you're just going to see his usage continue to grow. I mean, he's a guy that you can just do so many different things with. And I believe that at the end of the season, it'll be KJ Hamler number one and Jahan Dotson number two interceptions for the Lions. I also should, it feels like we should point out that Justin Shorter looks good out there too. He's really coming into his own.
And good enough that, you know, you want to see more. And it's hard to make appropriate use of all the different weapons in your attack. And everybody's going to have a game or two like this along the way where, you know, you just don't get the volume that you'd like. But certainly Justin Shorter looks big, fast, and strong. We knew that. But he just looks confident out there, and especially coming off the heels of last season, you know, to see somebody who's so confident in his hands. Like, it's 3 catches, so you can't go overboard, but a hands catcher. That's one of the things, if you go back and watch his high school film, all the other stuff, like his ability to get deep, I think we'll see that at some point in time. I think you're going to see Penn State use that, but his ability to actually use his hands and not, you know, catch everything with his body is something that's pretty unique about him. And I think he's made 3 catches this year, and all of them have been outside of his body. So I think he's what you want. He's going to be somebody who's going to bubble just below the surface until they figure out truly how to use him. I want to see more of him, though, for sure.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's one thing Jarrett Parker has really instilled with this group, is the idea of making sure you get as many guys on the field as you can during a game. So when you look at this past weekend, you know, they obviously found a way to get numerous guys involved, and could it have been smoother and cleaner early on? Yeah. Could you have done without KJ Hamler's drop on third down that ended a pretty promising drive? Yeah, no question. I mean, that was out of the norm for a guy that is usually just so fantastic. They had a lot of guys on the field, but only 4 caught passes, and Pat Freiermuth was one of the 4. So you're talking just 3 receivers on the stat sheet, Justin Shorter, 1 of 9. So they rotated. But it's just another indication that the passing game just never got on track. And it's hard to say. It's weird to say that in a game where the quarterback threw for 4 touchdowns, but it was very boom or bust, and they need more consistency. That's what James Franklin said over and over and over and over and over again during his post-game news conference. Consistency is what's going to help this team get to the next level.
Does Penn State, let's put it in the present tense, is there a problem in the trenches either way? You know, do you watch the way the first 30 minutes unfold where You know, Buffalo was just moving guys off the ball, getting their 3 or 4 yards, extending their drives, frustrating everybody in the stadium, I'm sure, in the process. And then on the other side, not a lot of room at all for that Penn State backfield. I know there wasn't a deep commitment to it on Penn State's end, certainly not like the way Buffalo committed to it on theirs. But, you know, you did see this defense get pushed around a little bit before they adjusted. You did see the offense struggle a little bit to create some breathing room for the running backs. But is there anything of concern that you take from Buffalo and carry it forward?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that Penn State's offensive line is something we've been, you know, we've spent far too many segments and shows talking about whether that group's going to take the next step. And it just, you just wonder when they're going to get to a point where they push around a team like Buffalo for a full 60 minutes and don't let them at some point in time dictate what's going on. I think that's just a big area for the Nittany Lions they just have not been able to focus in on over the last few years. And this year, you know, looking at what is going on, what this team looks like, what their roster looks like, etc., you know, I think that they have as good of offensive line depth as they've had probably in the James Franklin era, but I'm not sure if they have the best starting five that they've had in the James Franklin era. And that's because you're playing three guys basically at guard. You're playing two guys, or, you know, three or four guys at tackle. And I'm sorry, but I know, you know, Matt Limegrover's approach to it, I understand why this is the approach to it, but his idea is that, you know, we feel like we have all these guys that can play, so we want to play them. Well, you know, my approach to it is, if you don't have five guys who can start, you don't have a starting five, and there's a problem there, because, you know, again, you can look around the country, and we've talked about this before, it sounds like a broken record and beating a dead horse, but the best lines in the country, they have their starting five, and they go to play with it every Saturday, and Penn State just doesn't have that right now. They don't have the guys, yet at least, who can step up and fill a full game worth of snaps at all those positions.
You can spin that either way. You can spin it that you like Mike Miranda so much that you want to keep him involved. You can spin it that way. You can spin it the same way with Dez Holmes, but I think, you know, ideally you'd have a guy who was so good at right guard that you wouldn't feel that need right to get the other guy involved. So yeah, we'll see, and it might just be part of an early season strategy to get to keep those guys involved and try to get more young players reps in meaningful situations, and maybe as things move forward, they tighten it up. We'll see. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State, Buffalo, 45-13. Penn State wins, improves to 2-0.
Were you concerned with the defensive line at all?
The defensive line, it's hard not to be concerned when they were getting 3 to 4 to 5 gimme yards.
Right.
You know, when they wanted them, and for most of the first half, you know, I think Penn State did well to only give up 10 points, and, you know, considering how long they were on the field, but you got to get off the field. You know, it's the same issue that showed up last season, you know, and to me, I think that's what it comes down to, is that you got a new group of guys, you've got linebackers who should be taking a pretty big step forward this season. You got to figure out ways to get off the field against these run-oriented attacks, because guess what? Now another one's coming to town this right weekend. You know, you're going to have teams that are going to see this. They're going to try to take that and use it. It was not a dominant showing. I know that Buffalo had some experience up front. I know that that's their identity, and they've got some good runners. So you take nothing away from Buffalo in this situation, but Penn State's got to find a way to – somebody's got to make a play to get off the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think the biggest concern for me was you have to go pretty far down the stat sheet to find Etor Gross-Matos and Shaka Toney on the stat sheet in terms of tackles.
Well, part of the game plan, right, is to make sure there's to take those guys out of it.
However, part of the Penn State's game plan is to make sure they're – and see, this is the problem Penn State's had for a year and now two games, is that how many times is the game plan what the other team, you know, wants to take Penn State's best players out of it, and Penn State can't find a way to overcome that. That's the biggest problem they've had in the big games, and even a game like Buffalo, that they're not very good a lot of times at making sure their best players touch the ball or make an impact or aren't stymied endlessly by the other team's game plan to stop them. I mean, KJ Hamler, you can go back to the Citrus Bowl, 2 touches for a guy who is arguably your most explosive player. This game, you know, Etor was noticeable at times and he did get hurt at one point. It seems like everything, he's fine, he's okay. But I mean, the game plan is always going to be to take those guys out of the equation, but Penn State has to find a way to be better and make sure they stay in the equation. And they just haven't been very good at that, frankly, in the biggest moments or in even games like this one against a team like Buffalo.
Here's my question. What Buffalo was doing and what they were trying to do was pretty true to their identity. You had to have anticipated that coming in. Now, there might have been some nuances. They might have showed some different looks in the run game that Penn State didn't see. But, you know, the lack of adjustments thing is something that needs to be – it needs to be resolved, because you could say the same thing against Illinois last season and Pitt last season and probably another game or two I'm not thinking of. But why were these not made before the game? You know, like, right. But Buffalo came in with what they were trying to do, and they did what they were trying to do, what everybody knew they were going to try to do. So I didn't really understand that part of it. I don't know if that's a personnel or if that's a coaching issue. A couple other things I wanted to touch on real quick. Jordan Stout 8-for-8 on kickbacks again, or touchbacks again.
Is Penn State we said it last week, are they ever going to face a kick return this year? I don't think they're going to.
Well, and here's what I thought was funny. The Buffalo guys, they knew it was coming. So it looked like the left fielder when somebody hits a 510-foot home run. Right. They just turn around and watch it.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. They did not – they were flat-footed the whole time. They knew it was going to sail over their heads.
Yes.
And what does that whole deal do for you? There could only be – you don't make a lot of positive game-changing plays in kick coverage.
Right.
You know, the only positives that can come for that are almost – it's almost always for the return team. It's almost never for your coverage team. You can make a big hit. You can maybe, you know, make a play that creates a little bit of excitement, but you're just hoping to hold the line there. How about not even needing to defend kick returns and what that can do for Penn State? Any quick thoughts here, by the way, on just Sean Clifford's performance? The numbers looked really good in the end. I thought there was some hesitancy in the first half. Maybe held the ball a little long sometimes. Maybe tucked it and tried to run at a time or two where he didn't need to.
Yeah, the big takeaway for me, Dustin, was what he said after the game, is that when he sees a pass rush, he has a tendency to just kind of lock up and hurry something down the field that maybe is in a tight spot, maybe isn't, maybe still an open guy, maybe not. It was a very good, I think, game for him to build off of, more so than the Idaho game, because he saw some things he's never seen before in game action. So I think that ultimately this game will be looked back on as a sort of a moment for him where he moved ahead and can only go up from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the response to pressure can only be honed through pressure. Idaho didn't do it. Buffalo did a little bit of that. All right, we're going to move on. We're still talking Penn State Buffalo. James Franklin, we're going to listen to some quotes from him and break those down in just a moment.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.